This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
Hello, and welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to join us on today. A special welcome, as always, to those of you who are joining the show for the first time. Welcome to all of you. I'm going to start off today. I just have to celebrate something. We just had our 200th episode. I'm excited about that. And I just came into the knowledge of something else today. I'm not sure how these milestones go. I don't know what some shows measure themselves by. I don't know how to necessarily quantify this, but it just sounded like a pretty big deal, so I thought I'd share it with the audience. But I just found out before I recorded this episode that the World of UX podcast has reached a special milestone in that this show has been heard now in over 100 countries. I think that's pretty cool. It's just cool. It's just some cool stuff. I don't know how else to express it, but just pretty excited about that. I'm glad for the longevity. I'm glad to be able to do something to help bring value to the UX community at large. We were also just recently shared on another podcast recommendation list. I'm not usually a big person for that. I'm celebrating the 100 countries thing. I don't necessarily celebrate the other things. I'm always glad when somebody will recognize you, but a lot of times those best of lists and things of that nature, they tend to be, you got to take them with a grain of salt, because they recognize one person one minute and they recognize somebody else that they actually shouldn't be recognizing. It makes it difficult to celebrate those types of things. I mean, we're right in the midst of doing this, or toward the end, I should say, be more specific. We're toward the end of doing the series on the sinister UX traits, and there are different things that I see, and I see everything. I make it my business to know what's going on everywhere. I talk to people everywhere all over the world. I do not talk to people in a certain demographic and limit myself to that. And so I know what's being said. I know what's being done. I want to know what's going on, and everybody else should want to know what's going on. And then we should be picky about what we partake of. And when I see people who share misinformation, when I see people who are trolls, when I see people who are not really interested in the well-being of the UX community, I can't celebrate that. I can't support that. I won't support that. And I don't care what anybody says or does, or how they might try to cancel me, and they do. But I am going to celebrate the 100 countries. I will celebrate that fully. And I hope that more and more people, especially because this is a discipline, UX is a discipline that revolves around commitments to critical thinking. I would hope that more people would start to embrace critical thinking the way that they should, because a lot of times people don't. And when people don't embrace critical thinking, then it becomes an anything goes type of an atmosphere, or sort of a virtual environment, if you will. So just want to share those things. I thought we were going to be coming into the full home stretch with the last two topics. I just cannot get away from these segues and these potpourri types of segments. And so officially today, this is a UX potpourri session. Maybe next week we'll get to the point where we're wrapping up this series. And it's going to be a doozy, because I'm going to be saying some things and sharing some things that people don't like. I know they don't like it. I'm going to be sharing some things that are going to be very, very unpopular. But if we want to thrive, those are the types of things that we have to embrace. We cannot stick our head in the sand and thrive. Ostriches don't thrive. If you want to go full metaphor here, ostriches can't fly. So if you want to get with the eagles, you got to get your head out of the sand and do something different. You got to get your head out of the sand and change your nature. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck putting your head in the sand and ignoring something. And funny thing is, when you stick your head in the sand to ignore something, that thing you're trying to ignore didn't go away. It's going to be there when you take your hand out or your head out of the sand. It's you're not going to leave your head in the sand. You're eventually going to come up. And when you come up for air, what have you, that thing that you're trying to avoid is going to be there. So we might as well be courageous. We might as well face different things. We might as well learn how to navigate the different things that are going on out there. Those are the types of things that will help us be successful in UX. So those are the types of things that I'm subscribing, whether people want to embrace it or not. I'm not going to play the politically correct game. I'm not going to play the toxic positivity game. None of those types of things. So all that said, let's dive into today's set of topics for UX Potpourri. And we got our sound effect today. I saw something, and a lot of this stuff is coming from some things that happened on social media, which is usually the case when this happens. There are people that give recommendations for people, and they're usually directing these at new UX professionals. They're not directing them at people who've been around for a while, because we're not interested in that stuff. We're not drinking that Kool-Aid. We're not tapping into those types of resources. It's people should recognize when those things are being said and done that there's something predatory that's happening when people preface certain things the way that they do. And so at any rate, somebody had a recommendation, and the recommendation was that, you know what? You should work with developers. It's important that you work with developers, and you must make sure that you work with developers. And when I saw this recommendation and I saw somebody going gaga over this recommendation, I just laughed. Let me share something with you. Those of you who've not been around long enough or have not worked at enough different places, that's another problem in UX today. That's actually a sinister trait, because you have some people who are, I guess a little bit of sinister is going to get in here. This first thing I'm mentioning is sinister. Really, when you think about it, there are people that they've been, say, working in UX for 10 years, and they've been at the same company for 10 years. And those people, glad you were able to stay somewhere for 10 years. That's almost impossible these days. Here's the issue with working at only a few places, one or two places. That results in a person having a skewed and a narrow perspective. We're not calling that out. We're not saying that's a bad thing for a person to work somewhere. We're just trying to help you to understand what that's going to result in. When you work at an automotive company, or you work at a digital design agency, or you work at a FANG company, and that's the only thing you've ever done, that means that's all you know. So when that's all you know, there's a lot of perspectives out there that you have no idea about, no understanding of, so you can't speak to it. That person can't speak to it. So I said all that to say this with regard to that recommendation, that faux recommendation that somebody gave. Anytime somebody recommends something that people are going to do automatically, that's not benefiting anybody. When you work at a digital design agency, everybody prides themselves, and I'm talking about the bigger agencies, the smaller agencies, people have to wear more hats, things are going to be a little different. When you work at one of the larger agencies, they pride themselves in staying in their own lanes. So nobody's trying to take the UX work from the UX people. What a novel idea. Nobody's trying to take the development work from the developers. Nobody's trying to take QA's job. Nobody's trying to manage the account. There are already account managers and product owners. Nobody's trying to take anybody's job. That stuff happens when the environment is smaller and when it is less mature. When it's more mature, getting back to the statement, you're automatically going to work with developers. Developers, because we, the UX people, are responsible for marrying business needs, user needs, and constraints, and finding the sweet spot between the three, we don't know the constraints. We're not subject matter experts. We're not going to be aware of where those constraints might be. So we are dependent upon subject matter experts, whatever that subject might be, where the constraint is arising from, we're dependent on them to fill us in. So there is no, you need to work with a developer. You're automatically going to work with a developer. You're going to work with a product manager. You're going to work with a QA person. You're going to work with a visual designer. You're not going to do their job for them. You're not going to step on anybody else's toes, and you're automatically going to work with them, and they're automatically going to work with you because that's the way things naturally occur. So I found it really, really weird that somebody wanted to suggest something that was automatically going to happen. You're automatically going to work with a developer. That's not anything that needs to be recommended. It's going to happen. So to present it as if this is something that does not happen normally, that it's not an organic occurrence, is misleading, is manipulative. And then to say that, and then to say it as if they're opening somebody's eyes or saying something that's earth-shattering or groundbreaking, that's really sad. And anybody who's doing that out there, you can actually just, maybe they say something sometime that has some value. I'm sure they do. But in this day where misinformation rules, and in this day when you have a lot of new people coming into the discipline, people who don't have filters, by the way, I'm trying to accelerate your filter development here. When somebody tells you something like that, oh, take it in. Find somebody else you can get some input from to find out how valid that really is. I'm here to tell you that's not a valid statement. You're going to automatically engage with a developer. The more mature environment you're in, the more likely it is to happen. And if it's not that mature of an environment, go and find the developers and connect with them. They're going to appreciate it. And you're going to build those relationships, because part of UXing is building relationships anyway. So you're going to not just build relationships with developers, but with every other discipline that you're connected to. But these people with these, you know, I think you should breathe. You know, come on now, really? Come off of that. That's just ridiculous. So at any rate, that's number one. Let's move on. I am really sad to announce for number two today, those Which Design Is Better posts have started circulating again. They're back. They've been, a lot of us were sounding off, this needs to stop, this is not UX, this is not A-B testing, the whole nine yards, and a lot of people, they just stopped doing it. And so somebody apparently saw one and decided to resurrect that. I'm just going to flat out call it foolishness. It's really sad, but they started to pop up again. And myself and other people, again, we picked up right where we left off, and we'll say this is not UX. We don't know the context. We don't know who the users are, the whole nine yards. And I'll give you a little laundry list here in a couple moments before we move on to the next topic. But people, they ignore us. It's funny that the people who post those things never want to hear anything that's actually constructive. They'll say, share your opinions, and then only listen to the people who agree with what they did. So, which is quite narcissistic, for the record. But at any rate, these things are really, really silly. So let me shed some light for you on these Which Design Is Better posts that have started occurring again. Number one, such a determination cannot be made without context. Those Which Design Is Better, we don't know who the users are. We don't know the use cases. We don't know the actual task flows. There's a lot of things we don't know. And some of the things I mentioned, they may factor in. Sometimes they may not. But we don't know who the users are. We don't know who the use cases are. That's pretty standard. The use case is not necessarily going to impact things. But my point is that's not UX. And I think it's also funny, if a person was truly trying to make a decision about design, I'm sure that's not the only thing you need clarified. And why are you asking everybody at large instead of engaging? I mean, maybe the person is a team of one. You still don't go out and just ask everybody else who doesn't know anything about what you're working on. We can't really shed light. Some of the disservices that this is doing, some of these people think this is research. It is not. Some of these people think that this is A-B testing. It is not. It's a misguided question. I saw one person calls himself a mentor doing this. If that person was really a mentor, they wouldn't be doing something that would actually set a person back. They wouldn't be doing something that would be detrimental to the partakers. And you have people sounding off saying, this is great. Oh, great work. Really? you really think that? And for the person doing it, are you really going to listen to that? Do you really want an amateurish opinion? You shouldn't. That's why you can't crowdsource designs like that. And some people would say, well, aren't you doing the same thing when you're doing UX research? No, because one thing you're doing is you're screening the people before they participate in your research, so you make sure you have the right participants. A lot of people don't know that. You can't just present your work to anybody, get input, and then that input be considered valid. The participants have to be screened. They have to be vetted. If the participants are not screened and vetted, you're already headed down the wrong street, and you've already possibly, you have invalidated and corrupted your data. So just something else for those of you who didn't know that particular thing about research. The eyeball test and the performance test, those tests yield different results, folks. We're supposed to test based on what works, not on what people like. Users say one thing and do another. So if somebody is called themselves conducting research is based on sentiments and preferences, that's not research and somebody's fooling themselves. If you're new to UX, please don't do that and ignore those silly polls because they're just that. They're just silly. So the people who post these types of questions, I'm repeating this, they ignore the people who call them out for being amateurish, but that also lets you know who that person is, and it lets you know them you can't ignore. So just saying. Let's move on. There are several companies, and this really shocked me to see this. And then again, the more I thought about it, I wasn't really shocked. But there are several companies out there. They've created lists of what they call the top UX trends. If you were to go to your favorite search engine and do a search for top UX trends for 2024, you're going to find a boatload of companies and resources that have produced these lists. If you want some entertainment, go and look at about three of them randomly. You can pick any three. What you're going to find, there's many things. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so let me go over my little laundry list with you. These lists are not accurate. I saw several of them have the audacity to say that responsive design is a trend. That's a joke. Responsive design became a norm over a decade ago, so that's not a trend. Someone said that micro experiences are trending. Micro experiences are not trending. Some of us have been working on micro experiences for years, and we know that that's where the main part of the user experience is made or broken, is in the micro experiences. For people who are just now learning, it might be new, but folks, new and trend are not synonymous. A trend is something that's starting to happen more. And trends are not based on what practitioners are doing because the UX practice, the world of UX is upside down right now. So it's not based on that. These are not trends. So these lists are not accurate. I didn't see one list that had an accurate trend on it. Not one. Just throwing that out there. The vast majority of the things on these lists, this is the other funny thing I found out, and you'll see it too, are actually recycled from previous years. I saw a list that was the top UX trends for 2022. And I looked at it, and I just started laughing because the things that were in this list were literally recycled by somebody else for their 2024 list who's just trying to get some SEO generation out of it. They're not saying that this is a top trend or something is a top trend because they did research. They're not saying that something is a top trend because they made some discoveries. They're saying something is a top trend because it simply is going to get some visitors to their site and make them look like they know something that they don't. It was just amazing the degree of copycatting that's going on, that companies are posting these ridiculous statements. And something else I noticed, some of these folks, it's just buzzword salad. Some people were saying that something was a trend, and I actually saw something I had never heard of before. But not only had I not heard of it before, I know what's going on in the design world, and it's not a trend. And someone made a great comment. We were talking about this. Several of us were dialoguing about this on LinkedIn. And somebody made a wonderful observation. And I didn't think about it So the person said it. Kudos to the person who recognized this. That person had that article. Some of these articles were written by AI. They just, somebody asked AI to just gave it a few words or whatever and asked AI to put something together, which explains why some of this stuff is being duplicated. Some of the actual language is even duplicated. So it's not like somebody even tried to write something, but they know that gullibility is off the charts in UX and they're trying to cash in on it. So if you don't want to be victimized by this, by these people, then you're going to have to overcome gullibility, and everybody is gullible when they come into UX. If you are a new UX professional, you are gullible, and it's going to take some time before you overcome that. And if you want to be honest about it, go and look at the stuff that you gravitate to and ask yourself how much critical thinking you applied before you partook of that. There is so much misinformation out there. It's bubbling over. It's all over the place, and people love it. They absolutely love all this crazy stuff that people are saying, and they just can't get enough of it. Now, I'm going to call out three companies. Two, I don't usually do this. I'm going to call out three companies who published terrible articles on this subject. And none of these are authorities on UX. And you're going to be surprised when I mention this. Wix. Wix is not an authority on UX. I do give them credit for trying to make sure to differentiate between UX and UI. But if Wix was really concerned about UX, they would probably shut down their product and stop telling people that they could design a website in a few minutes, because that's not ethical. They make it look like it's easy, and they make it look like anybody can do it. And in so doing, they strip away the quality and the scientific aspect that goes along with doing design work. So Wix, nah, huge thumbs down. Huge thumbs down from Wix. And we just simply cannot give them credit for what they're doing out there. So we gotta watch out for that. And then a couple other companies here. The second company I want to call out is Dovetail. Dovetail, you get one. Dovetail produced one of these articles, and people say, but Dovetail is great. They have a really great research repository tool. No, I'm just going to leave it like that. We'll talk about this another time. But no, they're not experts on UX. May I remind you that Envision was putting themselves out there, and several other companies, Figma, there are other companies that try to position themselves as if they are voices of reason, thought leaders when it comes to UX. They are not. And they're doing a lot of things that let you know that they are not. But a lot of people, because they drink the Kool-Aid without testing the Kool-Aid or finding out what's in the Kool-Aid, they just opt in for it. And number three, this one's going to be a big surprise to some people. Then again, some people, because they know me and they're used to listening to me, they're not going to be surprised I call this company out, but they put a list together too. Career Foundry. Career Foundry gets one of those awards for putting together terrible, well, they've been doing terrible content for years, so we should not be surprised about that. But all these companies put these trend lists out there. Folks, these are not trends. Don't fall for it. You got better things to do and better ways to spend your time. Let's move on. I wanted to give folks a really firm reminder about UX job hunting. And we're going to wrap up with this topic on today. So it's going to be a pretty short show. But one of the things I've noticed is that, and I think I talked about this during the Sinister series, but for years, people are always saying, you know, give us a chance. I want to get my first UX job. What do I need to do? They're bending over backwards, trying to get your portfolio done and all that kind of stuff. And you think, oh man, Darren, you're picking on me. Number one, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling the truth. So the hypersensitivity, got to get rid of that. There's a lot of people who are always talking about give us a chance. And I find it quite ironic that the same people, when they finally got the chance, these people are actually getting hired at a higher clip than people who are more qualified. If you could, I'm hoping and I'm thinking there's got to be some people. I'm not the only person who goes around studying job postings. And when you study job postings, it is amazing to see things like a director position that only wants somebody with 2 years of experience, or a manager's position where they only want 3 or 4 years of experience, and a whole boatload of jobs where it used to be that entry-level jobs, they really only, in any discipline, not just UX, but in any discipline, only made up no more than 2% of the available jobs. That ratio has increased dramatically. You have some people out there, people who are known or recognized as UX leaders, who are going out, going around telling people, you need to make sure you hire more entry-level people. They really want you to hire more entry-level people so you can come and pay for their services. Might as well bust them too. Yeah, might as well bust on them too, because then you'll come back to them. If you believe them and did that, you're going to be in trouble, so you're going to need some help. And instead of hiring a senior UXer so you can have a triage person on your staff that's going to save you tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, yeah, that's right. When you hire a more experienced UX person, we actually do the work of 3 or 4 people. It's like hiring 3 or 4 people, and we come with a whole bunch of benefits that don't show up on anybody's job description. I'm just telling you that that's the way it is. But at any rate, it's really interesting that these people are being hired, back to my original point, and then the people who are more experienced are being shut out, to the point that the people who were given a chance, now they're not giving anybody else a chance, and they're shutting other people out completely. You see these, that's where I was, you see these job postings, and even if it's not manager or director, like what I was just mentioning, there's a lot of positions out there where they're asking, literally they are saying, 2 to 4 years of experience, 1 to 3 years of experience. And so if you have 5 years of experience, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, you're being disqualified. You're being considered overqualified now. And the funny thing about a lot of these roles is that these companies that are doing this, they really don't want a UX person anyway. And everybody's going to find out the hard way down the line. So this really, really sad stuff. So I'm trying to encourage more seasoned people by this statement. And it's something that we need to know. I actually just had this conversation with somebody not 2 hours ago. Counterfeit UX teams want nothing to do with a bona fide practitioner. So those of you who are trying to make sure that you become a bona fide practitioner, please know what you may be up against, or not what you may be, what you will be up against to some degree. But for the genuine UXers out there, your value is only going to be recognized and valued by teams that are also genuine themselves. And a lot of these people who are the posers, the retrofits, and the upstarts, the people who have the inferiority complexes, the people who claim they have imposter syndrome, they want nothing to do with people who actually know their stuff. And they're very violent. They're intellectually and cognitively violent towards people who are confident, toward people who are qualified. So it's really interesting how they come at people who know their stuff, and you have people who see that and do nothing about it, and that's where you get these dramatically and massively toxic work environments that are off the charts today as well. But back to my point. Keep looking. Those of you who know your stuff, those of you who are qualified, keep looking for a company where somebody is in charge that is confident. Somebody is in charge and they're qualified. Somebody is in charge and they know who they are. They know what they bring to the table. So when you bring your qualifications, they're not going to run for the hills. They're not going to be afraid. They're not going to be intimidated by you. The problem is you're going to have to put a lot of work in to find a company like this, because they are far and few between. But you got to keep looking. You got to keep looking. They are out here. They are out here. That's what I'm looking for right now. Other people need to be looking for the same thing, because in those environments, you're not going to be cast aside. You're not going to be seen as a threat. You're not going to get ganged up on like somebody else I talked to not too long ago, who had a bunch of junior UXers all working together. Instead of doing their UX work, which, oh yeah, they in this particular instance, they couldn't do work because they didn't really want to do the work. A lot of people want the UX job, but they don't want to do the UX work. And when you hire people like that, they don't do the UX work and they find other things to do. Some companies are actually, whether they realize it or not, are paying their UX teams, people on their teams, to engage in character assassination. You are literally paying somebody $70, $80, $90, $100,000 a year to run somebody else in the ground and keep them from managing their own livelihood. You don't know they're doing it because you're not paying attention to them or you're not listening to the person who brought it up. I've brought that up at companies before. I know other people who've brought that up at companies before, and the people in charge, because they're not real UX leaders, they don't care, so they don't pay attention. People are literally paying folks to do something that they have no business paying them to do. I have seen teams, UX teams, where with like 5-6 managers and none of them were qualified, not a one of them, and nobody who was over them cared. Everybody's in self-preservation mode. The managers who don't deserve the jobs, they're in preservation mode. The directors who are over them, they're in self-preservation mode. If they hire somebody that actually knows what they're doing, everybody's going to gang up on that individual, and they're being paid to do it. That's insane, but it's happening. It's happening. I don't get much support for saying stuff like this, but it's happening. And if you know that it's happening and you're contributing to it, shame on you. It's not humane. It's not adult. It's bad for the discipline as a whole, because eventually somebody in leadership is going to see that stuff and they're going to hold everybody accountable and heads are going to roll. Again, my last point today, this firm reminder about UX job hunting, and this is for the experienced people. Nobody supports us. Nobody looks out for us. I'm going to do that. Make sure that you are always trying to gauge when you get those interviews, labor to find out who is on this team. When you get that schedule of people you're going to interview with, check to see what their qualifications are. Check to see how long they've been doing the work. If you have any posers, retrofits, and upstarts, and sometimes you got to try to get the job. We're not going to say don't do that. Sometimes you're going to do that, but you need to know how to navigate, because I remember once interviewing with a person at this really large, what is it, Fortune 100 company, if not Fortune 50. And I looked to see who I was going to be interviewing with. And one of the people that I was interviewing with said, "Wow, you've been doing this a long time. I could learn a lot from you. I look forward to learning a lot from you." And a lot of times the people who say that, that's the person you actually have to look out for. And in this case, it happened before the interview was even over. That person ended up making a statement. I said that the user experience person does not own the decisions. We own the user experience, but there's a product owner. There's an account manager. There's always somebody else that owns the decisions. We give data, we give recommendations, but we don't own the decisions. We can't make anybody do what we want to do. And when I said that, that person became livid. So basically, I got punished for having knowledge. And that person subjected me, made me a prison to their ignorance, and then made me subjected to it. And then I didn't get the job. I didn't move forward in the process. That was the only bad interview I had. But this person didn't know anything. And their ignorance, I'm sure somebody else was cultivating it somewhere else there. So it's pretty sad stuff. I'm glad I didn't go. I'm glad I didn't make it. It hurts to get rejected. It's disappointing. All the descriptions, you know how it is when you don't get the job. But is it better to not get the job than to get the job and get in there and then get treated like garbage because they don't appreciate you or don't know what they have? So it's keep looking. And I think there's a lot of people out there that will testify about how they finally got somewhere. They were skilled. People have master's degrees. People have X number of years of experience. And you finally went somewhere where somebody appreciated what you had to contribute and respected you and valued you instead of devaluing you for the same exact reason. because that's what's happening in a lot of UX circles today. So I'm pulling for you. Hang in there. Would love to hear your stories, your testimonies when you finally do get in the right place. There's a lot of wrong places out there today. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to work in them. But this is the day. It's time to find a place where we can be valued for once. And when that happens and you can bring other people in there and help them grow, if we can get the wheel going in the other direction, everybody will be better off for it. So that's all the time that we have for today. We're going to end on that note, but I hope you enjoyed this UX potpourri session. We'll try to get back to wrap up these Sinister series. We'll look forward to resuming that next time, but I can't promise it. I'm not going to promise it anymore. I keep trying and I don't get to it. But at any rate, until next time, it is time to sign off. So this is Darren Hood, the host of The World of UX, wishing everybody all the best. And until next time, happy UXing, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.